The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. Bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Farrell of Palacio, right across the room to the woods from where Granny loves a little purple cushy cush cush before she goes to bed in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, ready to drive eggs, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should be. I'm up in the come around, flats, fight the party up, rats on the west side, the dogs uptown, with the best is that's dead, but brains splattered all over Manhattan, should be. I got a woo. I think I might have caught something from Cave. Should do back. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell, along with your boy Mafia tonight, and I just watched a couple things. I actually didn't watch. I just saw the end of it. Bucks win 112-98 over the Wizards. I guess at one point the Wizards led that game by one in the second half, and they lose by that count. So 14, whatever it is. The number was 11.5. And then the other game that I did watch, was the Penguins lose again, four in a row, in overtime again. I think the other night they lost in a shootout. They've lost. I mean, it's like every game. Every game they play lately, at least, you know, the last four. So tonight you lose to the Capitals on an Orlov goal. And that was 4-3 in overtime at about 40 seconds left. And then you start February off with an L. You end January with the Kings loss 4-3. Then you lost in a shootout to the Red Wings 3-2. And you lost in overtime to the Smoke Kraken 2-1. So this started a week ago. It was Thursday. Friday, losses. Sunday, loss. And now you start February with a loss on a Tuesday night to your arch rival Capitals. And they're just losing left and right now. And it's weird because I was on Coast to Coast today and I said I'm really worried about them, about betting on them. Because they're losing every game they play now. And, I mean, now it's the break. So that's the last game before the All-Star break. They come out of it next a week from now, playing the Bruins in Boston, then Ottawa, then Jersey. They got a three-game road trip before they go home to play the Flyers on the following Tuesday. And then they go to play the Leafs on Thursday the 17th, which is the week of Valentine's Day. So Valentine's Day is the 14th. Tuesday, a day later, they play at home at PPG against the Flyers. Thursday, they're in Toronto. Sunday, that Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock, they're at PPG against the Canes. So I have to say, I went to that arena for the first time ever. I thought it was really nice, really cool. I guess it's been open for 11, 12 years now. How time flies when you're winning Stanley Cups. It's been 12 years since that building's been open. You'd never know it when you go in it. It's like brand new. It's sparkling. It's magnificent. It's cool. I think now, essentially, there's only, two arenas in the league that are absolutely, but one of them isn't bad, is the Madison Square Garden, but it's the oldest arena in the league. That's for sure. And the one in Arizona is now, they've been kicked out of that. So, Moppy, when does that take place? When do they start playing? We welcome all of our radio affiliates. There's millions of them. So where do they – are they playing at Arizona State already, or have they been kicked out already in Arizona?
No, I believe it's something that's happening in like another year or two. I don't think that's something that's happening right away. I know there was a talk of them getting locked out for not paying taxes, but then they took care of that. So I think they're still there for like another year or two in the lease.
No, it's not that. Like we've been talking about – their problems. And what happened is they're kicking them out of the arena, right? And then they're moving. The offer is that for them to play in Tempe at ASU, at the Arizona State University. Coyotes playing in Tempe at ASU. So let's see. They're in negotiations to play at ASU's new arena, and ASU confirms negotiations with the Coyotes for the interim arena solution. And so they want to build a new $2 billion stadium and entertainment district in Tempe. But since a proposal was submitted, so anyway, the agreement to use the multi-purpose arena is final. Glad to help the Coyotes by providing a temporary home while their new arena is built just a couple of miles away. ASU is constructing a $115 million multi-purpose arena in Tempe, which will have two sheets of ice and be home to the school's hockey team as well as wrestling, gymnastics, entertainment, and music events. The Coyotes will only be calling the Glendale home for a few more months. So they're going to finish the season in that dump they play in, and then they're going to play next year in Tempe, and allegedly they're going to build a new arena, $2 billion arena, and then they're going to play there. I'm surviving, surprised that they're even surviving in Arizona.
You may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever gotten rabies from trying to get a fresh rabbit's foot, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
So it's not like anybody gives a rat's ass about, honestly, the Arizona Coyotes, because like at this point, they're just abysmal. They're awful. And they're having they're just in a cycle of losing hell. And and they've been at war with these people at this arena in Glendale, Gila Arena, whatever the hell they call it. I don't even know. I don't care what the name of it is. But I know that they've been at war with them over, outstanding debt, terms of the lease, bills, past due, everything else. They locked them out of there. They're like, you're not playing games in here until you pay us. Then they paid them. And then the when they finally got through that little war about the money, in essence, from what I was told, they moved into a different realm of we're out of here. We're going to build our own arena. We're going to build a new arena. We're going to own it. And we're done, you know, leasing, sharing, renting, paying. Screw you. See you later. And now they're out of there and they're going to play at Arizona State for like, it's a 3-year deal with an option for a fourth. And they're going to build this arena, which is a $2 billion arena. It'll be, you know, brand new. And if they, you know, get it done, which they allegedly are planning to do, I would guess that it would take, 18 to 24 months to build it. Seems like that's about the going rate for these arenas. Now, I don't know if you knew this or not, Mafia, but like I read this editorial over the weekend about the Garden, right? And in New York, there's only one Garden. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, the bank they play in up in, you know, the TD Garden, that thing up in Boston, that's not the Boston Garden. That's just, you know, even people in Boston know that's not the Boston Garden. Okay. So the Boston Garden was iconic, legendary, old school and just terrific. And then the new one's just as antiseptic as every arena in the league. So anyway, and that's where the Celtics and Bruins play. But when it comes to the Garden, there's only one. The world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden in New York. So, and they hate us for that in Boston. They know it's true. Everyone up there right now listening, you know it's true. Just, you know, have a beer, smoke a joint, go to bed. Just you know what I mean? Just get your girlfriend, see if she'll, you know, give you a little action and just, you know, roll over, Rover, because you know it's true. So there's only one. And then the one that I'm talking about, Mafia, as you know, Mafia knows there's only one.
Of course.
That's where his Rangers play. That's where his Rangers play. He knows there's only one. Honestly. So anyway, so I'm reading this editorial and it's about, you know, the problems beneath the Garden are at Penn Station. Penn Station is like the largest railroad station in this country. It is this enormous nightmare of a configuration of train tracks and, you know, Amtrak and Acela and all this other stuff. And Mafia knows it is like it's a quagmire. It is just this gigantic hub of, you know, public transportation. I mean, it's just everyone in there, but millions of people ride the trains into Manhattan and they end up underneath Madison Square Garden. That's where it pours out. Our TV studios at Sports Grid in New York City are not even across the street from it. It's like less than, you know, 20 steps from where we broadcast. And it's been there forever. And it's the oldest arena in the country for pro sports. And but it's been renovated 10 times, right? And it's like unbelievable the money they poured into it. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I mean, at least $1 billion now they poured into it over the years to keep it updated and to keep it sophisticated. And what they're saying is it's not so much the Garden that's the problem. It's Penn Station that's the problem. Penn Station is such a mess. It is such a disaster area. It is such a, I mean, I don't know what, between like fires that they have there, you know, Mafia, they have everything. Train fires, track fires, people, you know, homeless people sleeping down there like by the thousands. I mean, it's like an encampment. I mean, you've been down there. It's just an absolute nightmare. When you go to catch a train, you're jumping over people, bodies. And they're, you know, without a doubt, you know, they're begging and they're crazy and they're doing this and that. Then you got a wave of people that are performers, right? All these musicians and artists and jugglers and playing guitars and violins and everything else. People dancing, people doing ballet, people doing acting. It's a scene like right out of the apocalypse, right? It's really what it is. And then so what they're saying is like it's in such bad shape. They have leaks everywhere. I mean, there's flooding, toilets flooding, sewer problems. They have everything. I mean, they have every you know possible problem in the world is at Penn Station. It's true. And the thing is that what they want to do, Mafia, is people are clamoring for them. There's half of the city wants to leave it where it is, and half of the city wants them to move Madison Square Garden across the street. Because what they have is, they're believe it or not, they're negotiating to try to build more and more office space. Like... more, you know, office buildings, skyscrapers, and more, just more and more buildings. And just, you know, let's build another giant skyscraper building with office space. The problem is, as you know, is that no one's in the office spaces in Manhattan right now to begin with. No one's in the ones that are there. So why build more? I mean, the city's become a ghost town when it comes to office space. Office buildings, office rent, leases are in the billions. And no one's in them anywhere. You name it, Fifth Avenue, Sixth Avenue of the Americas. Doesn't matter where you go, there's empty office buildings. So why in the F would you build more of them across from Madison Square Garden that are just going to be empty? And I read this editorial where this, you know, this architectural magnate guy that has built half of Manhattan is like, look, the solution is instead of building office spaces in that area down there, you know, right across the street from the garden, then tear it all down and move the garden there. You know, they're going to tear it down anyway. They're going to tear it down and they're going to build office skyscrapers. Well, why do that when you could just move the garden there? Move Madison Square Garden across the street and then use the money that you were going to build these offices and fix Penn Station. It's the biggest hub of commerce and transportation in America. There's no bigger train station or there's no more. It's got the most volume of people coming into the city of anywhere in the world. So why not fix that and move Madison Square Garden across the street? They actually believe that they can move the garden. They can just, you know, pick it up and move it. Basically is what they're saying. And that's insanity. Like, but that's the oldest building in sports. You're going to pick it up and move it across the street? I got to see that. I mean, I got to see how you do that. You know what I mean? I actually want to see that marvel that they can do that. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Rick Harrow's our sports business and legal insider from Harvard on the bench and also on Sports Grid TV, Sports Grid Radio. He's everywhere. He's on a lot of the other shows as well that are fantastic. Catch the network 24/7. By the way, we'll all be in Los Angeles next week, starting Monday the 7th through the 11th Friday. And, of course, the Super Bowl is on Sunday the 13th. We'll be broadcasting Monday through Friday from L.A., doing all of the shows on the network, as well as Coast to Coast and Pharrell on a Bench from Lipstick City in the City of Angels. Looking forward to that at Super Bowl 56. Then I will be in New York on Super Bowl Sunday, and I'll be hosting the Super Bowl show
with Morenci on the day of the game, I think 2-6 before kickoff. So I think it's, you know, going to be crazy. It's going to be awesome. So we'll be out in L.A., then I'll be back, and we'll host the pregame show for the Super Bowl like we've done every year. Morenci and I going off for 4 hours. All right, let's go to Rick Carl. Rick, good to have you on the bench. I have to ask you, so I've been talking about on the show, just here initially before we get into all the other stuff, you know, I was reading this editorial in the paper over the weekend about Madison Square Garden, and it's about Penn Station, and it's about, you know, the problems that New York City's having with Penn Station, which has been an ongoing dilemma of epic proportions with, you know, you name it, problems, train problems, track problems, delay problems, flooding problems, sewage problems, you know, homeless problems. I mean, it's just, it's A to Z with problems. And the question wasn't, you know, how do you deal with the most iconic, oldest sports and entertainment venue in the world, in the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden? And the solution that this architectural genius, a guy that has built half of Manhattan, said that the solution is, do not build office skyscrapers across the street, which is what they're planning. Instead, move Madison Square Garden there, and then take the money that, you know, you have, and, like, let's say the gambling money, for instance, fix Penn Station. It's the biggest transportation hub in the world for trains, and fix, you know, the problems. Fix, they've spent billions on the garden renovating over the years. Why not fix Penn Station? And so this has become a huge argument and problem, and just people picking sides in New York, and it's been going on for a long time. Do you believe that they could, and they are suggesting, unless I'm stupid, because, you know, I'm not that smart, I'm clever. I actually want to know, they claim that they can move Madison Square Garden across the street, that they don't have to build a new one, they just need to move it. And I'm like, how in the F do you move a monstrosity as big as Madison Square Garden across the street and, like, what, plop it down like a toaster? I don't understand. Like, you know about these arenas, about building stadiums, about building basketball arenas. You've been part of baseball stadiums, NFL stadiums, NBA arenas, NHL arenas. For the last 30 years, you've been behind the league's force of, here, what we're going to do is we're going to make billions off of spending billions building these arenas. How in God's name do they do that? Move Madison Square Garden across the street?
Well, my grandma's trailer, you know, when I was moving it from Homestead to Florida City, you can do it because you can, you know, take it in the back of a car. That's hard to believe. You know, I don't know who this guy is. Be interesting to see the article. And let's also remember that MSG just completed about a $750 million phase three-phase renovation of that building. I'm not sure it's new. It feels a little like new. And obviously there was a big discussion about building a new MSG, and they said, we're going to renovate first the top floors to make the people who've been our loyal kind of upper deck people get the first renovation. Then we're going to build that sky bridge. Then we're going to do the suites. And so this was a 7-year deal, and I'm not sure who came up with the idea of just picking it up and moving it. I'm going to have to see a whole lot more evidence before I'm convinced.
Okay, so what they're suggesting is that the garden itself is, you know, they spent $1 billion renovating it, and it is iconic and it is badass. But the problem is that they've never fixed one of the issues they've never fixed is how, you know, really, essentially, how the hell do you get out of the building? So when the games are over and the concerts are over, it is the worst quagmire. It's literally the 405 freeway in Los Angeles for like an hour and 30 minutes. It takes an hour to get out of the building. Like if you leave at the end of the game, like, you know what I mean? If you leave at the end of the game, you're going to be there for another hour and a half.
Well, especially if you wait for a cab, when well, you know, you people are going to stop for you no matter what, because you're you who you are. But if you want to go out on the street, do you do 7th, 6th Avenue? No, you got to walk
uptown considerably before you get a cab.
Right. So I'm talking about the elevators, the escalators, the building itself, right. The concourse. People cannot get out of the thing. If the thing was on fire, everyone would be dead.
Yeah. Well, you know, part of the renovation was supposed to improve all that, but still the escalators, it's slow. There are issues, but you know, I go back to the $1 billion that was spent to improve the points of sale. You know, it was a money play as well. And so a lot of it was to widen the concourses to make sure that there were more points of sale, as I say in the business. So there are more places for people to buy stuff. And then the prices went up and you could charge more for tickets as well. But it's going to be real difficult to figure out how to get a new or improved garden after you just spent $1 billion recently on the other one, on this one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have to see it to believe it. I want to see him move it across the street and that it works. But I got to tell you, if there's any place in the world that can do it, it would be here, because I have never seen anything like the 25 years I've lived here, how this city goes up in the air. I've never seen anything like it. Like, when I go to Vegas or where I go to Miami or wherever, and there's, you know, I see scaffolding and I see cranes. I know they're, you know, building, right? In New York City, I mean, they're building up to the heavens year round. And I mean, some of these skyscrapers now, like, they have built these toothpick looking condos that are so high up in the sky. And Rick, I've heard that literally, I've read and seen it myself, that they have nothing but problems. These buildings, these brand new $1 billion buildings, have nothing but problems. But if there's any city that they can build, like anything that was old, they tear it down, they build these skyscrapers. It's the craziest thing. The way Manhattan just keeps going up in the sky, you know, like they build up here, they don't build out.
You know, one thing that comes to mind too, which is a little bit relevant. Remember after September 11, and you know, you bring up Steve Ross, we talked about him in the context of the Dolphins this afternoon. But one of the things that he doesn't get enough credit for is when he did the Time Warner building, he basically took a big financial risk right after September 11. And what was it, 85 stories or more? And he said, look, you know, people are going to use skyscrapers and live there, maybe not tomorrow, but certainly in the history of New York. And he had some big guts to make that decision, and he did it. And now, again, people are living high again. I'm not sure I'm a guy that would live on an 85th story of a building anywhere, but people do it.
But, you know, let me ask you this question really quick. Steve Ross, he owns, like, you know, 80% of Manhattan, all the real estate. Do you believe respectfully, I have 75 seconds. Do you believe that he cares? Like, I know he cares about the Dolphins, but there's no way you can tell me that he cares more about the Dolphins than he does all of his real estate holdings.
Well, his real estate holdings are his main business, and that gave him the ability to buy the Dolphins. When he bought the Dolphins for $1 billion and he bought the rights from Wayne Huizenga, I can tell you absolutely that here is a guy who made an investment at the time. It's not the best way to spend $1 billion, but now the franchises on average are worth $3.5 billion. So he lives with his heart. He's a big Dolphin fan, but they're two different things. One is his big time moneymaker that he does better than anybody else in the world. And the other one is his hobby. I'm just as a Dolphin fan hoping that his hobby is successful soon, because it hasn't been so far.
All right, so we got a lot to talk about when we come back with Rick, including all of the money they're making in New York, what's going on in Canada with sports betting, what's going on in Florida, Arizona, Virginia. I mean, it is just on and on and on. And we got stuff to talk about with the Racing Association in New York, with Caesars, and you name it. FanDuel's got some stuff going on. I mean, they're partnering with people you can't even imagine. Plus our tech top five and our good sports all coming up on the bench.
Oh.
When it comes to getting trusted sports gaming strategies and info, you can ask your dumb friend Kevin.
Duh!
Or you can just listen to us. We recommend
us.
And we won't ask to borrow your car either. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
We're talking to Rick Harrell on the Bench. Rick, I got to tell you, if you're Florida and you can't pass sports betting, mobile betting, and it's because of just politics, how do you not look at New York and see that in 16 days they crossed a $1 billion mark? And that to me is like, in 16 days, over $1 billion bet. The handle, you've got to be stupid or something. I mean, somebody like don't even tell me that the Miccosukee and the Seminole, whoever the hell else is interfering with us, if it's not their fault, it is their fault. What is the problem down there?
Problem is that the judge voided the compact because the legal issue is that the rulings or the prior compact allowed the Indians to do certain things only taking place on their property. And the issue of where bets are placed is the technical legal issue. The judge, it's a long, complicated thing, but kind of ruled that the servers where the bets are being placed and converted, they're over at the Hard Rock Casino, which is clearly on Indian property, but the bets are done in other places. So the judge ruled that it's illegal under Florida law and the compact. Now, a lot of people are saying that needs to be overturned and it will be overturned, but it takes up to a year to go through the appellate process. What is silly is that every month that you're not able to have this ruling done, you're losing $500 million. And so when the court says we need to expedite this, they really do. So one way or another, if it's not overturned, then you take it up to the Supreme Court of the state and you figure it out there. So I do think that there is a reasonable chance this thing gets overturned on appeal, but you're losing $1 billion every 16 days if New York is the guide, because you can't do it now. That's the problem.
So let me ask you this question. Because when I was down there, you could go offshore and gamble, but you could never bet on sports. Can you bet on sports in the brick and mortar in like the Miccosukee or the Seminole at the Hard Rock? Can you go up to the window and play sports bets there, or is that illegal too?
Well, the problem is the compact, which is really a contract between the Indians and all of the gaming organizations around the state, and what Governor DeSantis did, included all of that, and the judge threw all of it out. So even though that theoretically could be legal, you can't do it now. And so everything is ground to a halt.
So, you know, in New Jersey, you can, now they have sports books in all the casinos down there. And then you can go down there and you can deposit money, you can bet money, you can do everything. And then you can also mobile sports bet in proximity inside the state. And then now Florida or New York has caught on. They finally got it passed, Adabo, and they are now taking this kind of money in 16 days, over $1 billion, because you can mobile bet now in New York. But, couldn't they allow people to actually, because they used to, I remember at the High Line and at the dog track, down in Palm Beach or wherever, or in, Hollywood, wherever, you could actually go and bet on those, dogs and whatever else. But don't you think they could, because the Meadowlands is a dog track or a horse track, it's a harness track, and then they put the FanDuel Sportsbook in there. Couldn't they brick-and-mortar sportsbooks, at the Hard Rock Casino right there on the turnpike? Why can't they just open a sportsbook there?
Yeah, that's going to be the fallback. But then you got to go through the legislative process again.
because the whole thing was thrown out. And if the kind of remote stuff through the servers isn't going to fly, then they'll probably come back with that and probably get it done. But that's a year of gambling money lost. And so they got to be real careful, because up till yesterday, Portnoy and Barstool and FanDuel and DraftKings and all were spending, some said, up to $30 million to try to get signatures done on the ballot really quickly to organize all of this. So you had a ballot question this year to legalize, to go around all of these legalities, and that only got half the signatures they needed. So that's not working, and now they got to start over.
So what's going on in Ontario and in Arizona? I know Arizona's finally reached a billion.
Yeah, well, look what it has in common. Ontario, you know, it's not a backwards province. That's Toronto. They're hitting $1.86 billion by 2026. And this year expects to generate about $980 million in betting. Arizona reached $1 billion in 3 months. They launched on September 9, and now they become the fastest state to reach $1 billion in just 3 months. But obviously now New York is going to top that. And now they've cut a deal with Hard Rock and the Navajos. The Navajos have about 400,000 people, and it's about 27,000 acres. And they're going to be having casino operations spring up efficiently all over Indian land. And, you know, Hard Rock, obviously, Florida, Jersey, Iowa, other places now, Arizona. So they're even going to be making more money than they did before.
So tell me about the NFL and all their new sponsorships that they've tapped into, like the Budweiser one and everything else. It sounds like the league's doing great despite, you know, Brian Flores suing them today for racism.
Yeah, well, so listen, $2 billion in corporate sponsorships. And what is most of it? Well, a lot of it is the renewed big deals. That $200 million per year per deal over five-year period or so. Some of these deals are as high as $300 million annually. Anheuser-Busch just got renewed for $250 million for beer and hard seltzer rights, which was unheard of a few years ago. But a big deal sponsorship-wise, the first three, FanDuel, DraftKings, and Caesars, became partners in 2021. And then $1 billion combined, and then they landed secondary deals with BetMGM, WynnBET, FoxBet, and PointsBet, and all of those deals together added even more sponsorship money, and as we said, more to come.
How about the New York Racing Association cut a deal with Caesars, and they're going to have like all kinds for their customers, all kinds of access to Belmont Park, Saratoga. What's going on there?
Yeah, kind of cool. So what they're doing is that you know, during the summer, if you want to have a kind of preferred license operation, then you get preferred info, preferred stuff, the turf triple contested at Belmont and Saratoga. And Naira Betts, which is part of the deal with Caesar Sportsbook, are offering the special packages to people who are gambling. You know, the whole name of the game here, and one of the impressive stats about New York was that about 1.2 million accounts were created in New York that first 10 days we talked about, and 90% of them are new to sports betting. So the whole idea here is you have more and more people who are coming into the betting world more than ever before, spending a lot of money, and that's why these states are getting $2, $3, $4, $10 billion.
How about John Rothstein got a big fat deal with FanDuel to do college basketball and all kinds of programming, shows? That's a nice deal for him.
Yeah, and now what they're doing, obviously, are guys who are experts in the respective areas are getting their big deals as well. And FanDuel has got his talent as a passionate basketball guy for college. And as you said, shows, app, taglines, you know, his like "We Sleep in May" tagline is going to be big all over FanDuel.
And so they're looking at big celebrity deals like never before.
How about Khabib Nurmagomedov had his first, Eagle FC event in Miami last week?
Yeah, and he already has the attention of the MMA faithful over the next few months. Great cards shaping up. He's been making noise with some solid additions to his roster. Kevin Lee, other organizations on notice. You know, UFC, Bellator, already talking about losing some fighters because of the pay issues that are going on. So watch this stuff on a daily basis.
How about PFL? They cut a new deal with ESPN, and you said today they're about to re-sign Kayla Harrison.
Yeah, and again, for the same reason, because of the issues about pay, about treatment. April 20 is the 2022 PFL regular season kickoff, and the PFL has got investments, by the way, from Legends, which is the investment group with the Cowboys and the Yankees, $65 million round of capital raise, including the venture fund that is the investment arm of the Dodgers. So she's making a move, but also PFL is a force to be reckoned with.
So I think, you know, Hard Rock is opening a sports book in Arizona with the Navajo Nation. And they have one in Atlantic City, and I think they have Bet365 in there. Same group, right? Hard Rock's going to – they're popping up now in Arizona, Jersey. Obviously,
Jersey, Iowa, Florida, obviously. You know, the Florida is the big deal, right, with the Hard Rock Stadium. And they're a national outfit, and they're going to be even bigger than before, spending a lot of money. All of the big companies are trying to either – combine with each other or outperform each other. And so that's the big deal we've got to watch for.
How about Christian Eriksen back in the EPL? He's going to play soccer again after having like his heart come out of his chest.
Look, hey, you know what? We're lucky the guy's alive. And now he says, I'm ready to do it again. You know, they say he, you know, obviously he was a star for Tottenham Hotspur, and he died for 5 minutes, they revealed, before being revived by medics. He told Danish broadcaster DR he wanted to play in this year's World Cup. So a tribute to the guy coming back from injury, coming back from near death, he's a hero.
And Rick, real quick, 45 seconds. I know you're a huge Ronda Rousey fan. She won the Royal Rumble, and so did Brock Lesnar. Rousey back from the dead and now wrestling again.
Movies, TV, theatrics, but now we're talking again about the WWE Raw Women's title, the SmackDown, the Royal Rumble, all the stuff that she used to do. I am a fan, and I'm glad she's back.
So my daughter was watching old episodes on Hulu of 90210. You remember that show? And on the episode, I walked in the room and saw her watching. Barry Bonds was playing a baseball player, playing in a golf tournament, and his name was Barry Larson. And it was actually Barry Bonds. It was hilarious. Bonds did not get into the Hall of Fame where he should be. Rick, great stuff. We'll see you in Los Angeles at Super Bowl 56.
All right, man. I can't wait. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Rick, problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, a really good one brewing in the Valley right now. Brooklyn is down 4 to the Suns right before the half. Harden getting guarded by Chris Paul. Harden elbowed Paul in the nose. And they're taking a look at that one. 3 minutes left, 3.5 before halftime in the Valley. 53-49, Suns on top. They led by 10 before. It's just unbelievable to me how the, frankly, it really is crazy, how the Nets are actually this really good team, you know, on the road. I mean, they mean business. On the road, they have, like, you know, one of the best records in the NBA. And, I mean, they're 17-7 away. Philadelphia is 17-9. That's the only team even close. They both have the same amount of wins, but Brooklyn has fewer losses. And then in the West, Phoenix is 19-4. Only Memphis is close at 16-9. I mean, the bottom line is the Suns have the best record in the NBA, best road record in the NBA, and the Nets have the number two record on the road in the NBA. Meanwhile, at home, Brooklyn is a game under 500. They suck, and they're 12-13. And I blame all of that on Kyrie Irving. He won't get a vaccine, so he doesn't play home games, and therefore they don't win home games. They're a game under 500. That's disgusting. But at least they went on the road. I mean, screw it.